everyone. Welcome back to the Queens of Social Work podcast. I'm your co-host, Queen P.
And I'm your co-host, Queen H.
We invite you all to join us this week as we share, laugh, cry, and learn through our experiences as women of color who happen to be social workers.
So let's get started.
So on August 5th, the Association of Social Work Boards, also known as the ASWB, published data in the 2022 ASWB exam pass rate analysis. The data revealed gaping disparities in the pass rates based on race, age, and native language. The study revealed that just 45% of Black test takers passed the licensing exam on the first try compared to 84% of white test takers. The results on this set social media on fire. Everyone was talking about how racist the licensing exam was. And we knew that this was a topic we wanted to discuss with you all. Well, we all knew something was wrong with that exam, but that's neither here nor there. Go ahead, Queen P, because you know I'm ready to get started.
For sure, Queen H. So I'm glad we're having this discussion today. Today we have a treat for you all. We're speaking with Tabitha, aka Queen T from the 4Air Project. Welcome back, girl.
Thank you for having me, Queen.
Thank you for being here. Yes.
So for all of our listeners who may not have met you before, when you came on our show before, can you tell us a little bit about your credentials and what you do?
Yes, of course. So I am a school-based social worker full-time. I am a licensed clinical social worker and got that big C, okay? I am also your wellness creator. I am a resource. I'm a therapist. I'm whatever you need me to be. Besides me being a full-time social worker, I do have my own business, the 4Air Project, where I curate mental health and wellness spaces for youth in elementary and middle school primarily to feel seen, heard, and valued, to learn about emotions, to be able to identify feelings, and cope with what they're experiencing because they're also little humans and need those skills to survive the life that we're living.
Yes, yes, yes. We love the babies. They a mess. So y'all got to get ready for back to school because people out here tripping. But you know, we got to love them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They keep me on my toes. I love those babies.
For sure, for sure. So congrats on getting your C. I want to know, how did you prepare for the exam? What was your experience actually sitting for the 4-hour test?
So I've taken the exam 5 times. Yeah, 5 times. It was a roller coaster. The first time, I was like, I got this. You know, I studied. I passed the master's, the book. I've used the ASW book by Dawn Egger, I believe is her last name. And I said, well, the books are very similar between the master's and the clinical. I got it. Yeah, no, I did not have it. I didn't fail by much. It might have been like 11 points, but it still wasn't enough. Then the second time I said, you know, I'll try it again. At this point, I'm still studying on my own. I'm like, I don't need help. I got it. Nope, still failed it again. I was like, wow. Like, this is like hurting my confidence because I thought I had it. Third time came around. This time I said, all right, I'm going to go start studying with somebody. So I found a tutor who was like doing groups online. We did one-on-ones. I thought I had it, and like that probably was out of the 5 experiences that I've taken, it was the worst experience I've had. I had a panic attack prior to taking the exam. I've never experienced a panic attack. And like the morning I was shaking, I was like crying. I don't cry. Like, you know, I'm a gangster. I do not cry. So the fact that I was crying, I had no clue why I was crying. I was like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you so nervous? Why are you anxious? Like, you got this. It was very bad. I'm still in the testing room and I don't feel like I have it. Like, I'm shaking. I'm like, you have to calm down. Like, you're going to go in there and vomit because you mentally are not in the right space because I'm already thinking I'm going to fail. I'm already having a rough morning. Like, it just doesn't feel right. I go in and I vomit. Like, I got a 75. Like, that was, I've never, even the master's, never gotten such a low score. I was like, a 75? What? Like, I was so shocked that I got it. At that point, I was defeated. I was like, I'm never taking this again, even though I always say that. But at that point, I was defeated. Like, there's nothing else you can say to me right now. Like, there's no, it's going to get better. You're going to, like, I just did not want to take it. And I put the book away. I didn't start studying for a while after that. And my therapist was like, all right, Tabitha, it's time, like, let's get back in. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, fine. So I had taken that maybe October 2022. And I didn't start picking up a book again until maybe February 23. So I completely like shut down. I was like, I just can't do it. I don't have the motivation, the drive. Like, and I know people are like, oh, it doesn't define you because you failed. And I get that. But like, I just didn't have it in me. So then I was like, okay, February comes. And I said, okay, I'm going to start studying with someone else. Because then my friend started passing on the first try. And I was like, all right, well, let's see the people that they used to study with. I start studying again. And I actually like their techniques on how they trained us. It was very straightforward. Like, this is what you need to know. Boom, 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 boom. I was like, oh, this is easier for me to remember. I get it. I know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for keywords. I'm looking for problem statements. I'm looking for certain things. I got it. Fourth time comes around. I don't feel anxious. I go in there very level-headed. I got a plan. I'm going to go eat breakfast. I'm going to do this because at this point, the ASWB had change some of the rules where we could take breaks when we want, but we could take a break now with eating. So you could get a snack now. So I was like, great, I'm gonna pack me a snack, you know, put stuff away. So I ate, had a snack if I was hungry, and I still failed at this point by 4 points. So close, but so far. So then I'm like, okay, I don't feel as defeated, but throughout the exams, I felt halfway through, I failed. This time I thought I passed. I didn't pass. And then in New York, at least, I don't know about other states, but in New York, if you test 10 points within the range of the passing score, so my passing scores were always 103, and we can go over like what that means, I can complete a waiver. And then with the waiver, you can apply for the test as soon as possible. So within me completing it, by 3 days within me completing it, they had approved me to retake the exam sooner than later. Because if you fail over the 10 points, you have to wait 90 days to take the exam again. So I was able to, in May, I took it. So in May, I was like, well, there's only two options. I want to take it early July because the school year is over right before summer school began. I was like, God had another plan for me. He said, well, you know, the only date you have is June 17th. I was like, that's like 2 weeks away, two and a half weeks away. Like, what you going to do? I was like, you know, I'm going to just go with what God showed me. If this is the only day available, because it was nothing in July, I wasn't taking it in August. If this is the only day that's available, I'm going to go with it. I went, I took the test, and even before me taking it, I started doing online questions with YouTube Ray, and it wasn't live. It was recorded questions. So I was answering them, and they were, for me to get through 10 questions took me 2 hours because he's thoroughly going through each question with you, going through like the code of ethics with you, showing you exactly like the evidence to support this answer. So I went in and I'm just clicking away. I'm like, I'm 100 questions in and I'm probably 2 hours into the exam. I was like, I'm flying through. But then I started questioning myself. Am I really answering the questions good? Am I doing right? Then I'm like, hold on. Why am I second guessing myself? So now I'm having all these conversations in my head while taking the exam. I'm like, stay focused. I had maybe 40 minutes left and like one question left. I was like, well, I guess I could play with this. Because even in my other exams, exam 1 through 3, I was not completing my exams in the 4 hour block. So that was another stress added. So on top of my anxiety, halfway feeling like I'm gonna fail, I'm not completing the exam. I have 30 questions, plus I have some saved because we can save questions. So I have maybe like 40 questions and 30 minutes left. You're talking a minute and change per question. There's no way I'm completing this exam. So now I'm rushing for time. So now I'm more anxious on top of what I'm feeling. I'm not passing. So by the time I got to the fifth one, I'm clicking through. I'm like, I could take a break. So I took a break. I was like, all right, Lord, the energy is all right now. I finished the exam on time with like a good amount of time left. When I finish it, I feel very light because when you finish the exam, you get your response right away. Like as soon as you leave, you get a paper, there's your answer, like if you pass it. So when you finish, they want you to complete a series of surveys. So I thought I completed it, and I get up, and the way it is, there's a man watching you. There's cameras everywhere, and they're watching you. So they tell me to come out of the testing room. So then he tells me, no, go back in because you didn't finish. So I go and finish. He tells me, come out again. So like this, we're playing this game of like, you need to complete the surveys. So it's very like energy. And I'm like, I'm in a good mood. Like, there's no way I fit. Like, I just can't at this point. Like, it's nice. I feel good. So then I leave, and then I get my paper. It's folded. So it's already printed. It's folded. On test four, I seen that I failed because he printed it as I was coming out, and I saw the failing on the form. This time it's already folded. There's one person in the waiting room taking her break, and then it's me. So at first I thought it said fail because of just like the wording. I was like, dang, how I failed. Like, I really thought like I really passed it. So then I opened it and it said pass. I was like, what? There's no way I passed? Like, for real? This is a, like, and I'm having this whole conversation with myself in the waiting room, like very low. I was like, this is it. Like, you're done. Like, you never have to sit and take this exam again. And I passed it by 2 points. 2 points. I was like, they don't care about the points. A C is a C, and I got my C. So you can't tell me nothing. But it was a very, very long experience. It was a roller coaster. It really challenges you, and it hurts like your self-esteem, your confidence. Like, I didn't question myself as a social worker because I know, like, outside of this test doesn't define me or, like, the work that I do in the communities. These people don't even know that I need a license to do the things that I do. But for myself, like, it was like a confidence hit when it's like, you know this stuff. You can break this down with the tutor all day long. But when you get to the last two answers, A, B, or C, D, or whatever it is, you just can't get to the bottom right one. And on top of your second guessing, and you're battling anxiety, and you're battling the test timing, it's a lot. And then you're not getting any special accommodations for anxiety. They're not approving that. You need a special diagnosis. You need to have a mental illness to be given that, or like some type of IEP if you were a kid, like all of these things. So test anxiety is not something that they're going to approve, which kind of sucks.
First of all, thank you for sharing your experience, because so many people would be defeated by this, would feel like they don't even want to share this, right? That it took them a while. I had a friend who took the bar like 6 times before she passed. And she was just like, I didn't even want to tell anybody, but she began to share her experience because there is a freeness in sharing their experience and helping people understand, like, test taking anxiety, one, is real. Two, these standardized tests do not account for certain experiences and just life, right? It is a standardized test based on a book, but also based on the white man, right? And what they think, their theories on, and what has to happen, right? And the reality is that that's not life. That's not America. We out here, we're a melting pot. And so the question should reflect it. So one of the things that I always tell somebody when they're going to take the test, one, I learned very early that I had test taking anxiety. Like my SAT, child, I got a 900, okay? 900. You get like 100 for putting your name. I got 900 out of 1600, okay? So, I mean, and I felt so defeated. Had I not been on the honor roll, I'd have been like, I'm dumb. I am dumb. I can't even take a test. Like, I'm dumb. But because I had that experience, I knew going into the licensing exam, I got to prep. Like, I need this help because these tests, I don't like them. I can't do it. It's not going to work. It's not going to work for me, right? And so for the LMSW and for the LCSW, I did a class, and I did it for however many weeks because on my own, I knew I couldn't do it. But I always tell people who are going to take the exam, well, whether it's the LMSW, LCSW, it's your confidence that makes the difference. It is your confidence. Yes, you know the stuff, but it's your confidence during that test that makes the difference. And so your battle in prepping for the exam is, yes, the material, but it's also your battle is you, between you and that test. And of course, we know also that test, but I mean, everything you said, I definitely resonated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The confidence, like, you have to, like, stay focused enough to say you got this. Like, and it's hard while doing it because you're balanced so much. And I think when you have it, you just know you have it. And it's like nothing hits you hard. Like, you just have, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just something that you walk in the test. I mean, I walk in because when I walked in on the fifth track, I was like, I don't know if I have this. Because I couldn't find parking that morning. Breakfast spot was closed. I said, oh, nah, not today, Lord. My anxiety started going up. I said, no. What we're not going to do is, like, let that get in my head. And I was like, you better shut it down. And it stopped, and I went in, and it was over. Like, I was like, click, click. Like, you have to try to find a little hope in it. Like, push, because we can do it. Like you said, this test wasn't made for us. Like, the test is made, like, you need to just know it by the book. Like, it's not made for streets. Like, if based off the streets, you failing. And that's a lot of people's problem. They're like, oh, well, in the field, wrong. They don't want to know what we did in the field because that doesn't matter. It's wrong. It's not by the book.
They want to know a theory.
Right. And that's why people who are a little more elderly feel more because they've had so much years of experience. Mm-hmm. And that's why the younger youth, they're past because they don't have that much experience. So it's like bittersweet.
It's absolutely, that's absolutely true. So talking about that, it sounds like you might have heard about the study results about the exam. So what did you think about the results? Like, tell me, like,
it's crazy that in all categories, gender, age, ethnicity, African Americans are at the lowest. Male and female. Like, we are the lowest across everything. Even the LM, because I was looking at LC. Even the LM, we are the lowest across the board. Like, and that is crazy, and it sucks. Even in 2021, yes, we've increased to maybe, like, 50% because men were at 2018. Men were, like, 30 percentile in the C category, LCSW, and women were, like, a little over 40. Then we might have gotten to 50% by 2021. But the white people, baby, there's 80 and above across the years. 20, probably from freaking 1994. These people are like 80 and above. Like, that is wild. That is wild. But then this is why, sadly, like, people in our communities cannot connect with them and can't find enough of us because we're not licensed. We don't have it. Like, my people be failing and I feel bad and they want it. They're, you know, I know they can make that impact. But they can't get the job because they don't have the license. So now you have all these families that need services and can connect with their people, but their people are not certified. And then you have the white folks out here trying to, and it's just not working. So now what happens? Now the people go back out and, like, I don't want therapy because they don't have no one to connect with that look like them. I have a kid now who's like, who advocated for herself. She don't understand me. I need somebody black who look like me. Like, and it's not even a social worker, it's a case manager, but still, it's like, those things matter. So this exam plays a lot, it's a problem. Because you're holding back a lot of us from getting to where we can be. We have a lot of potential. But this test is defining us or putting us in a box. But outside this box, we're doing a lot of things. We're doing initiatives, we're bringing resources, we're holding workshops, but none of that matters because you didn't pass this exam. Like, that's crazy. And we don't even have enough males in the field. And look, like, the men that probably could do a lot of work, again, are not getting it because they can't pass a stupid exam. That's 4 hours and 270 questions. And only 250 count. I mean, not 250, 150, sorry. 170 and 150. Like, that's crazy.
It's a whole mess. I'm so glad you said that because you hit on all the points. I was like, we have no job opportunities because we're not passing the test. And not for nothing, a lot of the men of color who I see in the field are like case aides, case men, workers. They're not social workers. You know what I mean? They got a bachelor's here and they're trying to make something happen. And they're really a lot of grassroots gentlemen who are like starting at the bottom and trying to like organize and get things in the community together. So we're here and we're able, but just like you said, things like this test happen to be a roadblock. It also makes me wonder though, because of the percentage of white people who are passing this exam, what kind of social work are they doing? Right? Because even I, myself personally, I took a gap between my LMSW, my LCSW. Queen H will tell you, she really kind of had to light a fire. Go get your C, girl. Go get this bag, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And so I went. And just like your experience, I had a, like there was a date I wanted and it wasn't available. Like there was a whole slot that was blocked off. And Lord and the universe said, you know what? Boom, this is the only day it's going to be available for you. You got to go. It was like 2-3 weeks out. I was like, oh, Lord, let me just go. And sure enough, I passed first try. Thank God. I don't have test-taking anxiety. I got anxiety about everything else. But long and short of it, what are these white people doing that's having them in this 84 percentile? 84 percentile, I believe, of people passing this exam. And we know that the exam is just, you know, the textbook stuff. Because actually, some of the practice test questions I saw were on the actual exam. So they're recycling these questions. This stuff is coming from somewhere, right? And the test is telling you not to be in touch with your feelings, not to be in touch with empathy, not to be in touch with compassion, not to be in touch with color, not to be in touch with cultural competency and cultural differences. The test is telling you not to be aware of those things, right? But for example, all of the following may be viewed as indicators of resistance, except a client engaging in small talk, a client who limits the amount of information communicated, a client who is silent during appointments, and a client who was originally referred by another person. What the fuck are you talking about? What is that? What are you even asking me? What? So there's a lot of things that come up for me when we talk about the test because it is costly. There is an application process. You do have to prove that you're even qualified to sit for it with the supervision, with all of these things, right? And then we get to this place and it's not reflective of any of the work that we're actually doing. And then you got people who are passing it and getting through the door and able to do the work and able to have those job opportunities because they passed. But then what does that look like? They sure are getting paid a decent amount, right? But how are they connecting? How are they even doing the work? What comes up? You know, how does that look? What do you think about that in age? What do you think is happening in that space?
I think the ironic thing is that when you're prepping for this exam, or at least when you are in social work school, right, at the time that we went, right, which is way back when, well, yeah, look, not trying to date ourselves. There was this thing about cultural competency. Now it's cultural awareness, right? But cultural competency, you can't, there's no way you can be competent about everybody's culture. But there was that. And they said, oh, this is going to be something on the exam because the exam is going to talk about cultural competency. However, in the sphere in which they talk about cultural competency is the same sphere they talked about it in school, not in actuality. And that is why when it comes to actual work in the field and actual practice, that some of the white social workers are missing the mark when it comes to community of color, right? They don't know how to translate that. They don't know how to pivot. They don't know how to apply a piece of the theory, but not the whole theory, because the theory was based on white people, right? White people, white families, white illness, instead of studying Black people, Hispanic people, or Latinx, right? Listen, I won't get all the terms correctly. And you know, Asian American, listen, all right? You know, that wasn't a part of developing the treatments, right? And so when it comes to the exam, it's missing the mark. It's not including those things. You might have a mention of indigenous people. You might have a mention of this, but it's very broad. It's not in specific, right? It's not talking about, you know, maybe people of color and how religion plays in you know, how they're healing and then seeking services, right? It's not in depth like that. It's just very surface. And we think in the context of, all right, you know, our experience and how that governs, you know, how we work with people. Because it is true, right? We come to people with ourselves. How do you divorce yourself, right? That's the old way of thinking. Divorce yourself and, you know, work with people. The reality is, no, you're coming with yourself. And that's why, first of all, the white people like to come to us for therapy. Let me tell you, I had plenty of white clients and you know, they tell you, that's why I love you, right? Or they like to send their kids to us because we're coming straight.
That's it.
This is what it is. You know what I mean? And coming to them, start, and there's no theory about it. It's straight like, we're going to change this power dynamic. Mom, pull up your britches and let's shift this power dynamic with this child, because this child only acting like this because you're allowing them to get away with it, because it's behavioral. Now, there's real mental, of course, that's where the theory come in a little bit, but you still bring in some of yourself. So it's like, how can you give us an exam based on something that sometimes we're not even going to use?
Listen. Absolutely true. Who pull up Freud in a whole session?
and we know, okay, sometimes, yes, that Oedipus and the Electra complex is going to come up. Because you see that. Why the mama don't want the son to have a girlfriend? That's not your husband, miss. Let him go, right? But that's how we talking about. We not, oh, this is the Oedipus complex. The son want to be with the mama. No. Let that go. Listen, stop being a mama's boy. Let your mama go. Get you a girl. Let's do this. You can't be with your mama.
Right.
You can't do it. You don't got to lay on the couch for that. We can tell you straight up what's going on. What's up?
Right. We don't have to fake the funk or show, well, ma'am, nah. I'm going to rip the bandaid off now and let you know what it really is. They don't talk about that in the textbook. It's building a rapport. Step one. No confrontation. Unless you know the client.
Listen, and there's time where we do need confrontation, where the client needs the confrontation. There's a lot of things that happen. And I think there just has to be a whole overhaul of mental health and how we think it, or just the more representation that we see is the changes that will appear in the way that therapy is done with communities of color, right? What you do, and the thing is, yes, we're human, and you could say we're all human. It's fine. Culturally speaking, there are differences. And so there has to be a cultural awareness and what the person needs in that moment, right? And you can use some of the theories, of course, because there are plenty of theories that help address real trauma and the work that needs to be done and all of that. But you need to know how to flow in and out of it. Using it to a T does not apply for everyone. And I think that's where social work, that's where mental health, that's where psychology, whatever, gets it wrong. And that's what affects, I think, these numbers, this test, because if the test is based on that, of course, we're going to have trouble every time.
Right.
I feel like until they change some of the questions on it, listen, go to one of these prep courses and they're going to prep you to take the test.
Yeah.
Because listen, the person who taught the test for me, the prep course for me, it was a husband and wife duo. Everybody know who they are. The ones in New York know who I'm talking about. LMSW boot camp. Okay. With Edith Shapiro and her husband putting their name out there. Listen, they have a good thing going. He's a chiropractor.
That's the people I use with the good techniques I talked about earlier. That was bing, bing, bing. It's them.
On Rich Road, okay? And you come,
committed to a memory. Bing, bing.
Commemory. You get in that test, you get that dry erase board, you writing Farm Grits Roll acronym. Bam!
Hey, that's it.
Pass the test every time because they got, listen, they got it down to a science. They know it's not about the content. It's the question. It's right. The way that they phrase the question. Once you know the way they phrase the question, they're not going to get you. You can slip whatever you want in here. Try to fool me if you want.
Right.
Miss Ida told me what to do, okay? Dr. Shapiro told me what to do.
Right. They got all this nonsense that's going to distract you. No, no, no. Second last sentence and last sentence. What they asking for? What the answer saying? Bing, bing. You got it.
Don't take that low hanging fruit. Don't get sucked in.
Oh, nope. And that's what we do. We get sucked in. And this sentence, but this, well, she said in this. Nah, don't do it. Because now you stuck like me 5 minutes on a question and you ran out of time.
Mm-mm. Listen, if you read that question, we out here giving tips. I'm sorry, make it this longer, but I just got to say that. They said, if you read that question and you don't know the answer by the time you end read that question, save it, move on.
Yep.
Don't stay on that question and don't change your damn answer, okay? Whatever come up first for you, boom, move on.
That's it.
Don't go back and change it because that's where you mess up.
Exactly. You got to save that. Flag and move on. Flag and move on. You got to move quick.
Oh, child, we done said but a word. Okay, hold on now. See, because we done gone. Because yeah. We done already gone. There was a question I'm going to ask. What is important to let the people know? But we already letting the people know.
Okay, so you know what? Since we at the end, give me two study tips, Queen T. Queen H, give me two study tips. Okay, Queen T, go first, and then I'll give two study tips.
Honestly, I would say one, study for a month. Don't do the 3 months. I've done it. It don't do nothing but stress your brain out more because it just gets jumbled up. Just do yourself a favor. Study for 1 month and find you a good study group. Like, with the study group, baby, you really don't even need that textbook. Like, sorry, Dawn, because I'm going to affect your money coming in. But that book is a lot. Like, if you're a reader and want to read and want to know A through Z, do go ahead. But this other book now that's really direct and it gives you what you need, it was everything. It legit, there was at least 3-4 topics that was in that book that was on the exam. I said, wow, it wasn't lying. Like, it really was the exam. The questions were very similar. I knew the answers. So 1 month of studying, honestly, do some group study sessions and then maybe even some individuals. And the individuals, I was able to see, well, you're second guessing a little bit. Like, you're able to break it down and now you're stuck really with the last two. So study groups and then study a month in advance. Don't stress yourself out. Flashcards, I barely even, by the time I was so over it, I didn't even look at a flashcard no more. It was the book. Like, I just couldn't. I was like, I got 1,000 cards in my hand. Why, Jesus? Why am I going through this? Because half of this stack is not on this test. I'm not going to stress myself out.
Listen, and you ain't said but a word. Let me give you my two. I'm going to let Queen P go, and then I got two more after that. So just in case. I don't want to say what she going to say. So I'm going to give you my two. I'm going to let Queen P go, and then I got two more. Practice exams are your friend. Take as many practice exams as you can up the wazoo. And when you take the practice exams, right before you take the test, that's pay for the little ASWB one online. And that is your like last go around. That lets you know if you prepare for the test, right? Because that lets you know how you do on a computer, all this other kind of stuff. And it's questions, recycle questions from the test. So that's what you want to do. So that's tip one. The second thing I want to tell you is, from the moment you decide, because since she gave you the month, because that was my doohickey for LMSW, I only did it a month. I was like, studied the month, and I was out. I was ready. I was like, I'm not taking no longer because I know my anxiety will get the best of me. So during that month, pray. pray for the confidence to take the exam because you already have the knowledge. Pray to manifest the knowledge that's already in your life for the day of the exam, just so pray. That's what it, because I was praying every single day for the confidence to take that exam, because who child?
I love that. I love that. I hate that y'all already said the ones I wanted to say. Oh my God. So I'm going to say study for 3 weeks. I personally didn't need a month, but I found that the longer I waited, I was like, nah. So I did a 3-week study. If you go and sign up for your test and they just have one date, pick that date. It could be 3.1 day out, 3 weeks, 0.1 day. Trust yourself because you will be ready by that time. Stop fucking around on social media and have quiet time when you need to study. 2 hours every night. You get home at 6:30, study from 7 to 9. Every night, give yourself a break on the weekends. Have a routine and a schedule for your studying. That was all part one. Part two is eat and sleep well. Get off the hookah, okay? Let's not do 2,000 edibles and walk into a test. Oh my God, the people that was high when I went down the place. Can y'all relax now? Let's just stop tripping for 2 minutes. You can trip after and celebrate. Yay, I'm not against edibles, but eat and sleep well. Do your recreational stuff after you've passed because you got what you need to get it. That's it.
No, that's a real one because I cut everybody. I said, I'm off social media. I'm not going to hang out with nobody. So don't ask me. I'm sorry. I know we said yes before, but it's a hard no now. Like, figure it out. But what I'm about to do is go do this practice exam and not be bothered with y'all because when I fail, y'all not going to be there with me and give me the money to retake it. So...
Listen, the other tip I was going to say, if you got the dollars and cents, sign up for a prep class. So the study group is something, but sign up for a prep class and do your research on about it. Because let me tell you that LMSW boot camp, and I'm sorry, and I know if we got a black on one, please make it known. Because at the time when I was looking, I ain't seen none. And that was ages ago. Now I know that there's some coming up. So there might be some others. But if you in New York, let me tell you something. That Dr. Edith Shapiro and her husband, they get you right, okay? They got CDs, and their little book is thin. It's thin, okay? It's about only like 60 pages. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to pass that exam, okay? And they give you acronyms. And the most you need to study is the medication. After that, you don't got to study nothing else because they tell you, when I tell you they go through it, they go through it, and they will give you an exam right before. If you're ready to take the test, they'll say, come meet with us to take an exam and we'll see if you're ready. Now, let me tell you, I ain't do too well on that exam. So she was like, you may want to study some more. But I said, listen, Dr. Shapiro, Edith Shapiro, I ain't got no more dollars and cents for you. I'm broke. Okay, so I'm going to take this exam and I'm going to pass it. I left there a little pissed off, but I made sure to write her an email, told her I passed because you ain't going to tell me I ain't ready. Okay, thanks. Anyway, so the second thing is, oh, go ahead. You going to say something, Queen T?
No, I was saying seriously, like these courses is pricey. Like, and you want to do one weekly, $30 a class.
That's weekly, okay? Sister was paying for weekly. I told her I got 7 weeks. I can only pay you for 7 weeks. And that's all I got. And I did 7 weeks because I had to get my confidence up. And I did 7 weeks. Now, I know they told you 3 weeks in a month. I did 7 weeks. So you got to do what works for you. But don't do too long. Okay. Anyway. And my last thing I was going to say, they tell you this and I need you to abide by this. The day before the exam, don't do shit. Okay. Absolutely nothing. Do not study. Do not do anything like that. You go relax. I went and got a manicure. I went and chilled out because your brain needs to rest. It needs to absorb what you do. If you're studying right up until, you got a problem. So you need to, the day before you take the test, you need to rest. You need to get some good sleep, like Queen P said. Go get you something to eat. Go get a massage, something. You need to totally relax so that whether you take it in morning, afternoon, or night, whatever works for you, you are ready for the exam. Do not be studying pull all night. It's because you're going to go to the exam. You're going to fall asleep. You're going to fail. Okay? Thanks. That's all I got to say about that. That's my final tip. Okay?
Why they got to fall down and fall asleep and thing?
Listen, anytime I stay up late and try, listen, I learned bio in a freshman year, staying up all night trying to study and then failing them exam. I learned you don't retain nothing not sleeping. You need to sleep. Sleep on the textbook if you want. I don't care what you do, but sleep.
You know what, well, both of you ladies said study group. And I find that so interesting because I can't focus in a study group. I'm so sensitive to any kind of noise and distraction. That's why I said, like, take a moment to have quiet time and really, like, put the phone down. So for me, I got Dawn Apgar's book way back in the day. She did a little thing somewhere in the city. I think it was like a prep course. I went to that one. And that was like 4 or 5 years before I actually sat for the exam. But I did purchase the book from her. It is thick. It's mad juicy. And it has a practice exam in there. I think about like 150 questions. But I did the ASWB questions too. And like I said in the episode, some of those questions were recycled. So you'll see them again. You know, so pay attention. If y'all are really focused, y'all will see these questions again. It'll maybe just look a little different, or it'll be the same exact question. And you're home free.
I think for the study group, what I like, they do it differently in the Edith Shapiro and her husband duo. He's like, don't write your answers in the chat until I tell you to. So you're not distracted with people putting stuff in. Or it's like, don't write it at all. So, or it's put A, B, like your first, second choice and whatever. So he tells you when to write it so you're not distracted by people's answers. Other groups is like, everybody's writing in the chat. Turn the chat off, please, because now you're distracting me. Like, turn it off. He tells people, shut their mics off. So I think it's just the way groups are ran, where he's like, questions at the end. Like, don't ask me a question now, ask it at the end, which makes the group nice. It flows. Because as much as I want to study, baby, it's 8 o'clock. My brain hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wrap this up. And all these people got the weird answers. They said, don't do it as, like, you're in the field. Why y'all keep doing it that way? Not the classes are 30 extra minutes long because you just can't get out that habit. Like, why are you not understanding?
That was the only thing. Listen, going to the class, because you like, all right, I get what you're saying, Dr. Shapiro, but then the people, the long timers, they're like, but we do it like this. And he like, did you not hear what I said? Because you know he's straightforward. Okay, we're not going to get on here. Okay, you know what? That's going to make the episode too long. But just know what she's saying is true. And so if you're in New York and you haven't found somebody, look them up, and we'll take 10% for promoting you. Thank you. So
plugging people. I'm out here for it.
But it helped. It helped. You got to give respect where respect is due. It helped.
YouTube Ray, look him up too. He's also good. Black man, good at what he does. So, and record it. So you can stop, play, go watch it tomorrow when you want. It's on YouTube. And it's free. Those are free on YouTube.
Oh, well, girl, slip us the link and tell us where to find you.
You can find me on Instagram, the number 4 Air Project. On Instagram.
Thank you for coming back, Queen T. We love, love, love having you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much for having me. Usually, to me, it was like, yeah, I passed it. And like, people are like, you got such a story. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. Like, people have reached out and said, wow, I've taken it 8 times. Or I've done it this many. Wow, you're encouraging me to move on. And then I'm like, well, dang, I didn't realize like me just sharing this little glimpse impacts so many people and they're going through what I'm going through. So I'm happy to have had this opportunity to just come talk about it, because it is a lot, and it could be defeating and like hurtful because you put so much time, effort, and money into such something that you're looking forward to, but it's the last of the last exam, so like you want to get it because after this you're done. You just go get a doctorate if that's what you really want to do, and then you're really done.
That's it. You heard it from Queen Tia. So listen, go and do it. Don't matter how many times, you don't stop. You just go until you get it done, because we got to get our paper. Okay. Get your paper. All right. Thank you so much again. And please come back again soon.
Oh, yes. Invite me back. I'm ready.
Yay. If you guys want to connect with us on social media, you can follow us on Twitter at the Queens of Social Work Pod or on Instagram at the Queens of Social Work. If you want more information on the topic we discussed today, feel free to check out our show notes or email us at thequeensofsocialwork@gmail.com. We'd really appreciate it if you rate, review, and follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening.